following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. And it's our first podcast of 2025, and it's the return of Josh Algy, the new men's hockey head coach, after a couple weeks off. Josh, welcome back. Happy New Year. How are things?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and everybody out there. I mean, things are good. It's crazy that we're in the second half of the season, and it's the turn of the calendar, but exciting and good to be back on the ice.
Yeah, and the countdown to the end of Mesa Rink begins now, so it's going to hit reality there in the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, we had the ability to get over and see the building, the new building from the inside, and it's really coming together quick, so it's an exciting but sad time as well.
Yeah, talk about a little bit. What have you seen in the new building?
We've been able to get in there and just kind of, just see like what it's like to be on the bench and how the how the stands are going to fit, and it really is kind of special. Just like the fans are going to be right on top of the play. I think just the concourses and the amenities that the building's going to have is going to be it's going to be a big improvement. And then underneath it's going to be nice. It's going to give us more space and just give us the ability to kind of have our own area. And whether it's going to be our strength and conditioning program or our medical treatment center. So there's just a lot of things that are we have them now, but to have them in one spot is going to be great.
I don't know if this is a secret or not, but maybe I'll let the cat out of the bag. The bench and the penalty box for you guys will be next to each other instead of the benches being on the same side.
Yeah, so it's the benches are going to be on the other opposite sides, and it will be nice. Like we'll be able to walk right out onto our bench, and the visiting team will be able to do that as well.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. Can't wait to see the press box on the side. It's after all these years of covering from the end zone, I've got to get used to seeing it on the side. So, but first of all, how was your Christmas with the family?
It was good. We're able to get back to Minnesota and see some family. As my my mom and brothers, and obviously for our kids to see their grandparents is always great. And then a lot of high school hockey and junior hockey thrown in there as well.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to recruit?
Yeah, I mean, that's for us to be able to get out and see high school and some junior games and check in on a couple of our guys. It was you have these big grand ideas that you're gonna just take 10 days off and just kind of give yourself a reset, and then next thing you're getting in the car, driving to Minot, North Dakota, and then you're going to this place to that place, and every single night I felt like I was at a game. It was nice on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I just was no hockey, and I was able to just focus on family.
Yeah, that's great. And we'll have some recruiting news later on in this podcast. Well, let's get back to it's been a few weeks since the two game series against Vermont. It didn't turn out well for the Garnet Chargers. The Catamounts swept the series by scores of 6-2 and 3-2. Let's start with that 6-2 game. Vermont dominated the game, and it seemed like Union was a step slow the entire contest. I mean, Vermont scored three unanswered goals in the first period to snap a 1-1 tie and roll to the win. And then afterwards in the post-game press conference, you were not happy with the effort, and you said that we were on Christmas break already with that effort for the most part. I take full responsibility of the group, but at the same point, I can't sit there and beg them to work. I was really frustrated with that. Why do you think the effort was lacking in that game?
I think that, for the most part, that's been something we haven't had to, deal with as a coaching staff. It's been nice. The guys have competed every single day, and you pick your game here or there where maybe it's happened, but they've been pretty consistent. So you kind of just write it off as, I do think it's a hard stretch for us when you're in your routine and you're in classes and things are kind of going normal, and then all of a sudden you have this block of like 5 or 6 weeks where it's just hockey, but then you have a lot of free time on your hand. And I think we need to do a better job of managing that free time for them a little bit, because I think that, instead of, being active, I think, I felt like maybe we're just in our dorm rooms and not being as active as we needed to. And I think we need to spend more time at the rink next time and just get them, maybe doing some projects around the community.
Yeah. Well, I felt bad for goalie Kyle Chauvet. None of those goals were his fault. In fact, I mean, he was left alone on all the four first period goals. It was just a complete breakdown in front of him. Was there a thought of pulling him at the start of the second period just to, you know, get him out of there and getting either Joe Sherriff or Lucas Massey a chance to play?
Yeah, I think it was definitely, you know, something we considered. You know, then we watched the goals against, and I'm like, hey, you know, there was nothing he could really do. So we went back with him. I think if they might have got one, you know, early there in the second, we might have made that switch just to get him out of there and kind of protect him. But at the same point, you know, he's a competitor and he wants to be in the net.
Well, certainly you wanted to win the rematch, but you also wanted to see a better effort than you had in game one. I think you got that better effort. Unfortunately for Union, the team came up short. A late third period goal by Simon Jealous gave him out the 3-2 win. How happy were you with the effort?
I thought the effort was, you know, I was pleased with that. You know, this is a game of, you know, really inches. I mean, we have a chance where we hit a post a few minutes earlier, and it's as hard and loud of a post as I've heard in a long time. And then it comes back down a couple minutes later, and they take advantage. And, you know, we're coaching for the process. We're not always coaching for the results because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's that we're playing our best hockey at the end of the season. And so I was happy with the effort, but not the result.
I thought for the first half of the game, the players were focused on playing a better defensive game, and I think the offensive was maybe a little affected by that. Union had just four shots on goal in that first period. Did you think the players were worried about playing well defensively, that it affected generating offense?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that a little bit. I mean, got to give Vermont a little credit in that they limited our chances, but I thought as we worked our way into the game, just really we're moving our feet and possessing pucks, and I thought we were the better team, especially the second half, but you know, they made one more play than us.
Yeah, well, Vermont did score twice in the second period to take a 2-0 lead, but shortly after Vermont's second goal, John Prokop scored, and then Joseph Messina tied it. I mean, how good did that feel for the team?
Yeah, and I thought at that point we had all the momentum, and I thought, you know, if you're asking me on the bench there, I would have said 100 out of 100 times we were winning that game just the way it was going. But, you know, I felt really good. And anytime we're in a third period and we're either plus or minus one, I feel like we're going to win that game. Unfortunately, we didn't.
Yeah, in the third period, and you know, almost actually, as you mentioned, there was about 6 minutes left with Ben Muethersbaugh's slot shot. I don't know if it damaged the post. The Vermont coach was very impressed with how hard that shot was going off the post. Of course, then 3:01 left, Jealous gets the game winner. Certainly not the way to head into Christmas break.
Yeah, it was disappointing. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you're out in the recruiting trail and you want to brag about your team, it's, you know, we're still above 500 and done some good things, but, you know, kind of went in on a slide, and that was disappointing. So I think everybody had a bad taste in their mouth and just kind of laid out.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll have another Mess of Rake memory, and we'll preview this weekend's road games at Brown and Yale. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast. Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in New York at highschoolofficials.com.
Hi, this is Greg Floyd, Emmy Award-winning, they made me say that, news anchor at CBS 6 in Schenectady. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with my friend, Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
The Parting Shots podcast presents another Messerink memory. This one from current Dartmouth head coach and former Quinnipiac defenseman and assistant coach Reed Cashman.
Man, we had some battles when I was at Quinnipiac as a coach, and honestly, my memory that sticks out the most is Shane Gosselaar, who was maybe the best college player I've ever seen, scored his own goal on a delayed penalty. Stick Kendall into his own net. He went diving in to try to get it out. He missed it, so the puck goes in, and he goes flying through the net. And our guys were all yelling at him, and they came back and won that game. And I just remember the intensity of those games, those teams. But, I mean, Shane was so good. And to kind of make that kind of a, just such a funny hockey play you don't see very often. So if you ask me for one memory, that's the one play that sticks out. But just the emotion of those games and how good those teams were.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm host Ken Schott, joined by Union Men's Hockey Head Coach Josh Halgy. Josh, the team returns to ECAC hockey play this weekend with games at Brown on Friday and at Yale on Saturday. And with the exception of the Mayor's Cup game against RPI on January 25th, which is a non-conference game, it's all conference games the rest of the way. Union is 3-3 with 9 points. The Garnet Chargers have 16 ECACH games remaining. So how good is it to get back to conference play?
Yeah, this is the best time of the year. A chance to really climb the standings. Obviously, some tough games ahead of us. This is the next four are all on the road, but should be a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about Brown. The last time the Garnet Chargers saw the Bears, they eliminated them from the ECAC hockey tournament with a 6-0 win in that first round game last March. That margin of victory is a rarity in this series because the games always seem to be tight checking. What makes Brown a frustrating team to play against?
Well, just watching him on video, it starts with their goaltender. Like he makes some big time saves for him. He battles really hard, and their team is committed to defend. You'll see shifts where guys are diving in front of pucks and really making it hard to get to their net front. So they take a ton of pride in that, and then they have some pretty talented young players that are coming into their own.
Yeah, to me, Brown's Arena, Meehan Auditorium, is one of those the more underrated rinks in the ECACH. Unfortunately for Brown, the team doesn't attract many fans. Watching a game there feels like you're in the library, and that can lull the opposition to sleep. How do you avoid that on Friday?
Well, we have to, carry our energy in there and really, push the pace of the game. And, for us, I think it's always exciting to get back to play. So I'm hoping that, whether or not there's, one person there or they have a sold-out building, that we're going to, bring in it. Outstanding effort and be excited to play again.
Well, Brown is 4-1-2 in its last seven games. It's coming off a 3-0 win over LIU on Sunday. How much of an advantage do the Bears have having played Sunday while Union hasn't played since December 14th?
Yeah, I think it's always a transition to go from that first game where it's a little bit of sloppy hockey and your details aren't as sharp. So I think for us that's been a focal point. All week of practice, I'm trying to get back into game shape. And, I think it is nice. We've got a full week of practice where they had to, play on Sunday and get a little bit shorter break.
Any concern about rust for your team?
Yeah, a little bit. But I think it's, hopefully our energy and our effort carry us through.
Yeah. The Garnet Chargers then head to New Haven, Connecticut to take on Yale at Ingalls Rink. Yale is another pesky team. Yale is 7-2-1 in its last 10 games against Union, and they're coming off a 7-5 upset of Boston University on Sunday. What concerns do you have about them?
Well, yeah, they have an outstanding goaltender. They're really committed to defend. This is a difficult trip in the sense of you have two teams that really defend hard. And again, I think they're a program that's taken some steps here in the last couple of years.
Union is 1-6-1 in its last 8 visits to Yale. That win was a 3-0 triumph in game 1 of the ECAC Hockey Tournament first round series on March 6, 2020. The last regular season win at Yale was a 3-2 triumph on January 19, 2018. There was a shootout victory in that's that tie there. But why is Ingalls a tough place to play?
Yeah, it's a historic venue. It's a cool place to play, and I think they take a ton of pride in their protecting their own rink. And it's one of those things. The benches are a little bit misshaped, and it's just a unique place to play.
Misshaped and how?
Well, so you have the benches like in the middle of the rink. So you have the long change on the visiting team, 2 periods. So it's unique. It's like one of the only places where that happens.
That's weird. So, well, you mentioned the goaltending at Yale. I mean, Yale goalie Jack Start was outstanding as a freshman last season, posting a 2.23 goals against average, a 919 save percentage, and 2 shutouts. But this season, he has struggled. His GAA is 3.77, and his save percentage is .877 in 9 games. Start got pulled from the BU game after allowing 4 goals on 16 shots and was replaced by Noah Pack, who allowed just one goal on 16 shots. Pack, who is a freshman, has a 2.21 goals against average and a 930 save percentage in four games. I mean, are you surprised that Stark has struggled this season, and do you think you might see Pack in Saturday's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think for them it'll, you know, really depend on what they do on Friday and how that game goes for them. I think the biggest adjustment for any player in college hockey is when you have a lot of success as a first-year player, the second year I think you come in and you think you have it figured out. And it's going to be easy, and you know you're going to just step right back into what you've done, and it takes some time there, and there's some adversity for guys a lot of times in that second year. So maybe that's something he's going through, and you know he's a pretty talented goalie, so it wouldn't surprise me if he figures that out quickly.
Yeah, well, Union is on the road this weekend and next weekend. The Garnet Chargers play at Clarkson and St. Lawrence next weekend. So how important will it be for the team to get some road wins over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, just with, you know, kind of the way things went the last couple weekends for us, you know, it's a priority for us to get some points and to, you know, keep developing and keep growing as a team. So these next two weekends are huge.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned recruiting news, and I mentioned that you did some recruiting on the road. But, you know, with the scholarships now, you're able to announce national letters of intent. And you have four players who signed their national. I got to be careful with national letters of intent and the NILs, name, image, and likeness. So, yeah. But four players have signed: Etienne Lessard, Cooper Sharp, Ali Chesler, and Clifton Park native Troy Pelton. And I wrote a story about Troy, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But let's begin with Etienne Lessard playing for the Lincoln Stars of the U.S. Hockey League. His position, and he's a defenseman, defenseman. What do you like about him?
Well, I think he's going to be, you know, the next guy when you really look at who's going to, you know, quarterback a power play for us. You know, he's got a dynamic skill set. He's about a half a point a game guy in the USHL, which as a defenseman is, you know, the guys that come in and have impact in college hockey, they're usually at that point. He can break pucks out on his own. He can really skate. You know, for us, he's somebody that we're really excited about. And you know, for us trying to get, you know, the program, you know, go, you know, keep taking steps. We think he's that, you know, next difference maker as far as a defenseman goes.
He's from Blainville, Quebec. How did you discover him?
So he was actually playing in Cornwall, in the CCHL. I think he had like 50 points, you know, in 35 games. I mean, he was leading the league as a defenseman, and, you know, we watched him and we're like, this kid's different and he's special. And then he went out and played on Canada East in the World Junior A Challenge. And that was the deciding factor for me as I was out there. And, you know, it's one thing to point in a junior hockey league, but then to go and play against, you know, Canada West and the USHL All-Star team, and seeing how he defended against those players that are, you know, elite players, because he wasn't really challenged that way defensively in the league he was in, was kind of the deciding factor. Ended up going out to the BCHL and finishing his season out there, and then was drafted in the USHL and went to the USHL this season.
Cooper Sharp is a left-handed defenseman playing for Sherwood Park of the BCHL. He's from Camrose, Alberta. What do you like about him?
Yeah, so Cooper is maybe a little different in the sense that he's going to be your PK defenseman, a guy who you know, plays extremely hard, is you know, somebody that is a captain of his hockey team. He lives and breathes hockey. You know, he's going to be hard to play against, and just really, really dependable. So a little bit different, you know, than Etienne in that way. But you know, you need both of those styles of play to win.
Yeah. When did you discover him?
Yeah. So that was Coach Ronan was out in, you know, Alberta, and watching him play, and just, you know, again, he played in on Canada West last year in the World Junior A Challenge, and just for us, a guy that, you know, we kind of built a relationship with and made a commitment out of.
Yeah. Another defenseman, Ali Chesler,
yeah,
out of Watertown, Massachusetts, playing for Oklahoma in the North American Hockey League. What's his story?
So Ali is a flat out warrior. You know, a guy that will do whatever it takes to win. He's a leader. it's been really good for him this year. He's really taken a step with his offensive game. Somebody that has just really developed in junior hockey. He played prep school at Rivers and then ended up just kind of, working his way to junior hockey, where he played for Green Bay for a little bit, and then is now a captain in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And then the final one is Clifton Park natives Troy Pelton. I wrote a story about him. I think it was over the summer. How did you discover him? I'm almost neighbors, I think, weren't you?
Yeah. So we live pretty close together. But, Troy just – he's somebody like – my kids are pretty involved in, the Clifton Park Youth Hockey Association. And no matter what coach you talk to in the organization, they have nothing but, great things to say about Troy. He's really just worked his game and worked so hard and earned his way for this opportunity. I think he's got a high ceiling and is just kind of growing into who he's going to be as a hockey player. He's big, he's strong. We're going to need him to be a physical presence for us and someone we're excited to work with.
He's playing in Corpus Christi in the North American Hockey League. How is he doing so far?
Yeah, he's off to a good start, and their team's in first place and in their division, and he's a big part of that. So, we have one more guy that should be, they have to do some things here to get done, but so our class is coming together, and once he gets done, we'll be sitting in a pretty good position.
How many do you expect by the time the off season, and right now we have four? Do you expect how big a class do you expect to have?
Yeah, so we got one guy that he's basically done. It's just a matter of the paperwork getting kind of signed, and so there's a couple ways to do it now with the NL. The national letter of intent is actually gone, so you have to either sign an aid agreement or you have to be paid deposit to school to be able to communicate on, and so we got one guy who's just we're waiting on that deposit.
It's all confusing these days with that stuff. So it's right now looking at that list, three of the players are defensemen. Is that going to be something you're looking for more defensemen, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, at this point right now we got to get a forward in, which again, if I can't comment on, but we'd probably be there, and then we'll need to add a goaltender as well.
How is the recruiting going with regards to the Central Hockey, Canadian Hockey League, with the major juniors?
Yeah, well,
without specifying players, obviously.
Well, we did get a verbal commitment from one player, so that's already been a little bit different in the sense that we're involved in it and we're there, and we're just trying to, and that I don't even think anybody's even put anything out on that. So that's unique. And then, we have a couple guys that we have committed that have left their junior teams to go play in that league. So it's definitely different. And, you have a routine of going to, this rink where you're going to see this coach, and, you kind of know what to expect. And now your world's flipped upside down. So I think it's kind of fun, and it's a whole new world for everyone.
You almost need a third assistant to go out and recruit those conferences or those leagues.
Well, and I think that's something that's being transitioned to in college hockey, and I think he'll start seeing that from us at some point.
Yeah. I've covered this sport a long time. I don't understand why the NCAA doesn't allow coaches to talk about players that have gotten verbal commitments. I mean, what's at this stage? What's the point of keeping you guys from commenting?
I don't really know. To be quite honest, verbal commitments now, it's really weird. How much they don't mean to some people. So I don't know if they're ahead of themselves thinking that the verbal commitment doesn't mean anything. But I mean, we have guys that have done everything, but like I said, send a check in, and I can't talk about them. So it's I don't know. It's unique, and I don't really have a good answer for that one.
Yeah. Of course, there's also always a transfer portal. It's another avenue of recruiting.
Yeah, and I think for us, the transfer portal is the most important thing. Is that we keep our guys We think we're building something special, and the group we have coming back next year even will, be pretty talented. And when we kind of put a plan together, it was for this year and next year to really start, taking steps. And I think, hopefully people are starting to see that, and can really see it here in the second half. And then, we don't want to look forward to you know, next season, but I think we have a lot of really good players that could return, and that'll be a big focal point for us, is to make sure that we, you know, protect our assets and keep everybody in, you know, that could go in the portal, stay out of it, and then, you know, but we may supplement from the portal as well.
Does having that new rink coming, how much does that mean? Are you able to show prospective recruits what that's going to be like? And obviously the current players, I mean, that's also got to, you know, be exciting for them. Maybe that keeps some of them out of thinking about transferring.
Yeah, I think, I mean, all the guys that have, you know, been over there, kind of seen it, or, you know, like they allowed the seniors to go over and take a look, and they were just, you know, talking about how jealous they were, and just, you know, the fact that everything's going to be brand new. So I think it will, you know, hopefully protect us in that sense. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want players that want to be here and want to keep building on what we've started. And, you know, I owe a ton of credit to the guys that are in the locker room right now, making it, you know, be a great culture and a place where guys are, you know, having a lot of fun and excited to be at the rink.
Yeah. Well, of course, we always like to take questions from our listeners, and none this week. Of course, everybody's on holiday, so I can understand that. But if you have a question for Josh, you can email him to shot@dailygazette.com. Of course, that's S-C-H-O-T-T. You can also post them on my Facebook page and on Blue Sky X Threads at Slapshots. Josh, appreciate the visit. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk after the games.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Josh Algy. When we come back, some sound from Tuesday's Zoom call with the Union men's and women's teams. You just might hear Josh Algy again. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity. From the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, this is Mark Kestisher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio and college football on ESPN Radio. I grew up in Gilderland. I'm a proud member of the 518, and I go back over 30 years with Ken Schott. And when I'm not listening to his Schottsky radio, I'm listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Here's Ken.
Welcome back to the podcast. On Tuesday, there was media availability day for the Union men's and women's hockey team, the last one of 2024. It happened on New Year's Eve. Due to some scheduling conflicts, it was actually a Zoom call that we had with the men's and women's teams. So we talked to not only Josh Algy, as I mentioned, he's going to be heard from again on the Zoom call, but we were talking to the players, Caden Villegas, John Prokop, and Colin Ferguson, to get their thoughts on this weekend, getting ready to play Brown and Yale. So here is the men's portion of Tuesday's Zoom call.
Josh, how good is it to get back in action, and with the time off, me, how much reflection you think you did and the players did after the Vermont series?
Yeah, I think it's something that we all kind of focused on, and you know, I hope that the guys, you know, got over it really quick and enjoyed time with family. I think as a coaching staff, it sits with you probably a little bit longer than, you know, the guys, but, you know, try to put it to bed and you know, enjoy family time, because you don't get a ton of it during the season. But yeah, it's exciting to get back, just because, you know, we weren't pleased with how we ended.
Obviously, this is a critical, you know, 2 weeks coming up here, you know, all on the road, Brown Yale this coming weekend, and the North Country trip. So how important is it to get back to where you guys were playing prior to the Vermont series?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's for us, it's all the focus is right on Brown right now and trying to be, you know, dialed in for them and being ready to go. And, you know, sometimes when you come off a break, it's, you know, making sure that you're playing physical, you're playing hard, you're playing with detail, and, you know, you're not playing pond hockey, which, you know, some of the guys, that's what they go home and, you know, they jump on the ice or, you know, they don't really play the same way. So just getting back into the groove.
Josh, given the logistics of Christmas being a Wednesday and the travel and everything, did you consider scheduling a game last weekend at all to kind of get the rust off before conference play restarts?
Well, we practiced Friday and Saturday, and then, you know, went with the, you know, Sunday off and gets us into a regular week. You know, it would have been nice to have an exhibition if we could have got one, but, you know, unfortunately weren't able to do that. With that being said, too, we have a lot of games here in the second half with no weekends off, so didn't want to, you know, put any unnecessary, you know, physical contact if we didn't need it, especially with, you know, I think it's really important that the guys spend time with their family, you know, over break. So I didn't want to shortchange them there.
Yep. Josh, you know, where do you think this team was maybe falling short a little bit going into the break? And what are you hoping to see maybe corrected in these first few games as you guys make your return?
You know, I thought for the first, you know, 14 games, we knew exactly kind of what we were going to get. It was going to be a good, honest effort. The last two weekends, I just thought it was a little bit of a coin flip. I still thought there was some really good hockey from us, you know, at times, but just not as consistent. So just getting back to the consistency of playing hard. And, you know, for the most part, we've been pretty lucky as a staff because we haven't had to, you know, beg them to work hard or do anything that way. It's just been they continue to work hard all the time and focus on the detail. And, you know, I think that's probably the one area maybe the last couple weeks we fell a little short.
For the guys, you'll start with Caden. You guys headed into the break with a couple losses there against Vermont. How much did that sit with you guys as you guys were home with the holidays, and how good is it to get back to playing hockey? We'll start with Caden, then John, yeah. Then Cullen.
Yeah, obviously not how we wanted to end the first half, but I hope and I have a feeling that it's been sparking guys as we've come back. Everyone's getting to work. They're working their ass off. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back in the weekend. We all want to get the big 6 points this weekend.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited to be back. I know I am for sure. And we got a second half here that, you know, we're fortunate enough to play. So we're ready to get going here.
Yeah, same thing. It was nice to get home and see the family, but I'm ready to get back to business with you guys.
Yeah, obviously, this is just a tough two-week stretch here. Road games, Brown, Yale, the North Country. So how important is it to get back to where you guys were playing prior to the Vermont games? We'll start with Cullen, then John, then Caden.
Yeah, it's definitely important. We know what we're capable of, so we just need to get back to it. And that means get back to our structures and our systems and playing Union hockey.
Yeah, the next game is the biggest game, and I think we're taking one game at a time, and that's how we're going to start off the second half here. Every point matters, so.
Yeah, I mean, we got a hardworking group of guys just focusing on the detail right now and what we're going to have to do to win this weekend.
Yeah, can you guys speak to just the difference, and now with ECAC play pretty much picking up the rest of the year, less one game, the difference in preparation for conference games versus a non-league series? Let's start with Caden.
Yeah, for me, honestly, it feels like the most important game, the most important part of the year is those in-conference games because each point matters and, you know, our route is either, you know, be up there pairwise or another route is to win our league, and that's the main goal that you can control yourself. So we just got to keep stacking up those points, and that's why each game matters so much.
Yeah, it's just that every game right now is like a playoff game. Every point matters, and when you look back at it, at the end of the season, you want every point you can get. So,
yeah, they said it best. Every game, the next game is going to be the biggest game this season moving forward, and that's how we have to handle it.
Guys, I mean, the Browns always have been a tough team. I know you beat them in the first round game last year pretty handily, 6-0, but you know, going to Brown is always a tough task because there's nobody there at Meehan Auditorium, and they're just, Brown's always a pesky team. Josh, first, let me ask you about that. How important is it to, you know, create your own excitement there at Brown and, you know, come away with a win? And then the players can answer that as well.
I think it's a great game for us to have as the first game back after break because, you know, there isn't a ton of, you know, energy in that building, but I think everybody's really excited to play and, you know, put the jersey on. And, you know, this is the final stretch for, you know, our seniors and, you know, this group. So I think it's a great way to get started. And, you know, for us, it's always about us. I mean, it's about us creating our own energy and us, you know, playing with purpose together.
Guys? Sorry, Caden.
Yeah, I mean, like Coach said, as seniors, we want to bring that energy because it's going to be the last time we play in some of these barns. So we want to make all of them count and have a blast on each last go around here. So we're going to try to lead the way and bring that energy because who cares if there's fans or not? We're our own fans, and we're going to bring that energy.
John?
I think they said it best. It's all about us, and it's always been about us. I think, you know, creating our own energy and our own pace and our own structure and everything that goes into a hockey game is what we need to focus on.
Yeah, like Coach said, it's our last half as college hockey players, so you don't need any extra motivation. You know, you walk in every game just with everything you got, and I can only ask that the guys in the dressing room will do the same thing, and I know they will on Friday and Saturday.
The Union women's team gets back to action this weekend. In fact, they have four straight home games beginning Friday at 6 o'clock when Quinnipiac comes to town. And then Princeton will visit on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock next weekend. St. Lawrence and Clarkson will be at Messer Rink. All four teams are nationally ranked in the USCHO.com poll, so it's a good test for the Garnet Chargers. Of course, Union has won five conference games already. That's ties for the most in program history. But, of course, the last couple years, Union women have struggled in the second half. Last year, they lost 13 straight to close out the season. But they're trying to get erase those memories in the second half of this year. I spoke with Tony Macy, the head coach, and co-captains Maren Friday and Emma Hebert. Here's what they had to say on the Zoom call.
Well, Tony, how good is it to get back after almost a month off? And you guys went into the break with a win. So, I mean, how good is it to get back and have some, you know, rebuild that momentum?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were able to take about 3 weeks off, get ourselves refreshed, ready to go for the second half push here. So I think we came back in good skating shape. We had some good practices already, you know, so we want to try and build off the momentum we had there at the end of last semester and before break, and kind of take that into, you know, the start of this week here with QPAC Princeton coming into town.
Maren?
Yeah, I think the break really allows us to allow our bodies to recover and kind of get a mental break from the demand of the season. So I think coming in, we're all excited to get back into it, and the energy at practice so far has been really great.
And Emma?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been said, it's always good to go home and see the family and whatnot, but I was excited to come back, and I know everybody else was, so I think that's exciting, and I'm excited for the weekend.
Now, you guys have four straight at home starting Friday. So how important, Tony, is it to be able to have four straight home games to start the second half of the year and maybe build some momentum with getting some victories?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing is I think we can't look too far ahead. We got to just take it game by game here. You know, we're going to be seeing top 15 opponents every game pretty much for about a month, it seems like. So, you know, we can't look too far ahead. We just got to make sure we're taking care of the game that's in front of us. So taking care of QPAC this Friday is going to be our goal. Get ready for them and then move on to Princeton from there. But I think it's, you know, a good way to start out the semester. You know, if we can garner a couple wins right away, it'll get us, you know, a little bit more solidified in the standings and help us moving forward into that first half or that second half push.
Emma, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree. From like Tony said, taking it game by game, from experience, this next weekend's going to be a tough one, and from experience, the next weekend after that's going to be a tough one. So I think just taking that game by game and taking it practice by practice as well, I think we'll have success.
Martin?
I think having games at home is a advantage for us coming back off the break of not having to deal with the strain of travel. And so I think we're trying to build as much confidence as we can going into first the QPAC Princeton weekend, and then we'll build from there.
Tony, just could you talk about your assessment of where this team kind of is after the first half of the season? Obviously, a tick above 500 in conference play, and you guys are right in the thick of the race and the standings.
Yeah, I think we've always talked about trying to build throughout the year. Start of the year, I think we can all agree that we let some games get away from us that we look back on now that we're like, all right, we should have had those, but we use those as learning and kind of jumped off of those to give us the record that we have right now and our play in the ECAC. At the end of the day, you want to make sure you're winning games within your league. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far. Taking some games from people, I think people didn't think we would be able to do that for us. So, moving forward, I think we just got to do a little bit of the same. I think we're going to not surprise some teams anymore. I think now that we had that first half that we did and where we are in the standings, I think teams will be a little bit more prepared and ready and maybe not take us lightly. So we've got to be ready for that to happen. And going to every game knowing that, hey, we're going to get everybody's best game now.
Yeah, and then Mary, just if you could talk about how good you guys feel from a player's standpoint, coming back from this break and where you guys are positioned in the standings.
I think it gives us a lot of confidence knowing how we grew from the beginning of the season to where we were right at the end of break, and I think we allowed ourselves to have a little bit of learning and kind of learning how to mesh with the new coaching staff, and so I think once we started working together really well, I think you saw the results that we had during that first season, half of the season. And so I think we just want to keep improving, keep allowing for growth on our team so that we can perform even better than we did during the first half.
Marin and Emma, last couple of years, the second half of the season has been tough for your team. You guys faded down the stretch. Cost you a playoff spot 2 years ago, and you guys end up 11th last year. What do you got to do to avoid that? Collapse might be a strong word, but just to have how do you have to maintain the way you play in the first half into this second half this year, or start Marin?
Yeah, I think that's definitely been a weakness for us in the past couple seasons, but I think going into the break this season, we had a very outlined goal for how we wanted to keep improving over the break individually and stay in contact with each other so that we can kind of hold each other accountable for how we're training over the break. And so I think that will allow us to have success in the second half.
Emma?
Yeah, I agree. I think we just got to keep the foot on the gas and keep pushing forward. I think in the past, we kind of just let off a little bit. Maybe there was some burnout there, but I think with the way we are going, I think everyone's headspace is in the right mindset. So I think just continuing to go and continuing to push and get better.
Tony, man, from a distance when you were at Clarkson, did you notice anything different about a Union team in the second half of the year? And what can you do to make sure that doesn't happen?
To be honest, I was more worried about what we were doing.
I understand, yeah.
Really didn't notice too much. But looking back at, the records and things like that from past years, you can definitely see that something, happened in those times. But, we're taking it a little bit differently this year. Again, we're of the mindset of building every week. We want to worry about how we're playing and where we're at and not about, potentially like, oh, is somebody else going to try and help us out? We're under the control of what we can control. So we've got to really, push that. Our players understand that. They're their focus is on that. So I think that would be the difference is, hey, we're just going to worry about what we're doing. And, you know, that's all you can control from there.
Everybody pretty healthy at this point?
Everybody's pretty healthy. Knock on wood.
Yeah, Tony, just one more quick question. Just what are some of the concerns you come back from a long layoff like you guys had, you know, from a coach's perspective? What are, you know, some of the concerns and maybe some of the kinks that you guys will have to work out this first weekend?
Yeah, I think it's just like any other team. You know, you get into like those, that first period, you know, you're playing against somebody. Yeah, we can do scrimmages and things like that. But getting back just into competing against somebody who's not yourself is always, you know, something you got to kind of work through. But, you know, I'm really happy. Again, Martin brought it up. You know, our girls did a great job over the course of the break of staying in shape. You know, as our coaching staff was out recruiting, so I was texting them. They were asking about practices. You know, and I thought our practices, we had good pace. We had good compete coming back, which is great to see. You know, you sometimes you see a little bit of the rust or you see a little bit of the slow stuff there. But, you know, I think we were ahead of what even, you know, I might have been expecting right away. So that's good to see.
I'll be back to wrap up the podcast and have the latest winners in the Daily Gazette's You Pick 'Em football contest in just a moment. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
Elite teams, coaches, and student athletes. ECAC Hockey, 12 programs competing at the highest level. A league where champions are born and world-class professionals are trained. Where history is abundant and a commitment to the cutting edge is unrivaled. The best facilities, the fiercest competition. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Stay informed with the Daily Gazette's e-edition. Download our app, sign up to receive our newsletters, and enjoy exclusive reader rewards when you join our growing community today. Head over to www.dailygazette.com to check out our membership plans. And remember, when credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette.
Hi, this is Union College hockey alum Brock Matheson. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Back to wrap up the podcast. The Week 17 winner in the Daily Gazette's You Pick a Football contest was Mary Peretta of Amsterdam with a 16-0 record. Way to go, Mary. Mary wins a $100 Hannaford gift card. Congratulations, Mary. The VIP winners were Dwayne Leach of All Season Equipment, Nick Platel, Grand Premier Tires, Jim DeMarco of Terry Morris Ford, and me. We all went 14-2. I improved to 187-69 and moved into a tie for first place with Scott Hudson of Emmerichs. My Gazette colleague Adam Schinder was 13-3. He is 181-75. I'll announce the You Pick 'Em football contest winner's name, and that winner's name will appear in Thursday's Daily Gazette. To play, go to dailygazette.com and click on the You Pick 'Em football banner. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, and do it for your friends. Don't forget to download the Daily Gazette app and sign up for our e-edition so you never miss a headline. Subscribe today at www.dailygazette.com. We have a lot of great specials going on. When credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I want to thank Josh Halgy, Caden Villegas, John Prokop, Cullen Ferguson, Tony Macy, Marin Friday, and Emma Hebert for being on the show. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at shot, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on X, Threads, and Blue Sky at Slapshots. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.